I want to tell you a story this morning, and it's a story we've looked at before, but I'm glad in the Bible that we can look at stories we've looked at before and see new and different things and come at them from a different way and learn from them still. And that's the story of Naaman. And as I was thinking about it this week and studying it, I think the story that God put stories like the story of Naaman, who was a Gentile, who was a Syrian war hero, and God did something wonderful in his life, performed a miracle in his life. And I think God put stories in the Bible like that to remind us that his love and his mercy and his care for his creation is not limited by race or country, that it extends to everybody. And I was, a little course kept running through my head all week, that little course, Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white. They're all precious in his sight. He loves the little children of the world. Doesn't matter where they live, what they do, who their mom and dad are, what color they are. He loves every single one of us, and I'm sure glad he did. Let me just tell you a little bit. Brother Chuck read a piece of the story a minute ago for our scripture reading, but let me remind you that know the story and maybe relate to you that might not know it so well. Who Naaman was, and then I'm going to tell you what God did for him in the course of my message this morning. Naaman was a national war hero. He was a Syrian general that led the Syrian army as they revolted against the rule of Assyria in their country. And he threw off that rule with his men and with his troops. And it was not only they got their freedom, but they got prosperity along with it. And so Naaman would be to Syria like George Washington was to our country. He might have been like a Dwight Eisenhower or a Douglas MacArthur in later wars. He was a national hero, and with that position came a lot of different privileges to him. In fact, and let me just read verse. If you still have your Bibles open to 2 Kings chapter 5, I'll be reading a couple of verses. It says in verse 1, now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, the king. His king had thought a lot of Naaman and held him in high esteem. And he was honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria, and he also a mighty man in valor. And so there was a lot of things that Naaman had. He had honor, and he had authority, and he had prosperity. But I want you to notice, if you have your Bibles open, that last phrase in verse 1 of chapter 5, where the Bible says, but he was a leper. And we've talked about leprosy before. It was the most dreaded disease in the world at that time. It was a disease that ate away at your body and left your body with open, running sores. It was highly contagious to where you had to be separated from those that you loved and from all humanity. And you had to cry out a warning if somebody approached you. You had to hold your hand over your upper lip like this and cry out, unclean, unclean. And so Naaman, who had everything the world could offer, I mean, every privilege the world could offer, every good thing the world could offer, had this dreaded disease of leprosy that eventually was going to, he wasn't at this particular time, but eventually was going to separate him from his family, from his king, from his place of responsibility, from all the good things that the world had to offer. And what a sad thing to say that Naaman had great honor and great esteem from all the people, but what a sad thing to say, he was a leper. Almost as sad as us saying today about some man, well, he's a great athlete, but he's not a Christian. Or he's a great politician, but he's not a Christian. Or he's a marvelous musician, but he's not a Christian. Or he's a wonderful husband, but he's not a Christian. Or he's a great dad, but he's not a Christian. How tragic that somebody could have some part of his life that was good and wonderful, but to miss the most important part, to know Jesus as their Savior. How sad it is when you say she's a beautiful young lady, but she's not a Christian. Or she is a lovely, has a lovely personality, but she's not a Christian. Or she's a pure and chaste young woman, but she's not a Christian. Or she's a wonderful wife, but she's not a Christian. Or a great mom, but she's not a Christian. How sad it is that many people have good things to say, or that good things can be said about their life, like Naaman, but they suffer from a disease far greater than the disease that Naaman had of leprosy. They suffer from that disease called sin that eats away at their soul and separates them from their God that created them. How sad it is that people can have so much and know so much and miss the one important, supreme thing in life of having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. How sad that any man could know astronomy and not know the bright and morning star. How sad that any man could know botany and know all about the plants and the flowers, but not know the lily of the valley or the rose of Sharon. How sad that men can look at rocks and by different tests tell how old they are, but not know the Rock of Ages. How sad that men and women can have their names written in different scrolls of fame and be famous and have popularity, but not have their names written in the most important place for their names to be written, the Lamb's Book of Life in heaven. Naaman was a leopard. And his disease was going to lead to death. And the disease that we have called sin leads us to an eternal death and separation from our God. But the good news is, and that's why this story's in the book, you turn and you read chapter 5 in 2 Kings, the good news is that Naaman got cured of his leprosy. I mean, he in the events that I'm going to tell you about this morning, he found a cure. And that cure is a picture of the same cure that we can have for our disease of sin. This morning I want to mention some things about Naaman that if we'll follow, we can also get a cure. I have 8 things I want to mention this morning. You're almost getting triple your... I usually only have 3 points. I got 8. I could easily have 9, giving you triple your money's worth. And so those of you that are worried about time, just pay attention and keep track as to what number I'm on, and then you'll know how far away I am from the end. Number 1, Naaman admitted that he was a leper. He didn't try to hide it. He didn't try to dress it up. He didn't say, well, I've just got a toothache and need to go to the dentist and get my tooth pulled. Or I've got a headache and I need some Bayer. Or I have indigestion and need Pepto-Bismol. Or I have a temperature and all I need is an ice pack. No, Naaman faced the truth straight and looked at it square in the eye. And he said, I am a leper. I'm not going to try to dress it up. I'm not going to try to fool myself and others by calling it something else. I have the worst disease that the world knows. I have a disease that will eat away at me. I have a disease that will eventually separate me from all that I love. I am a leper. His wife knew it because he didn't hide it. His children knew it because he didn't hide it. His friends knew it. His comrades in the army knew it. His king knew it. Everybody knew it. Naaman was a leper because he knew and he admitted it. You know what? That's the first step for us getting a cure for our disease of sin, is that we have to admit that we're a sinner. We have to say, like those in the Bible whose examples we have to say like Achan, and like David, and like Balaam, and like Judas, I have sinned. I've broken God's law. I've not done what God's wanted me to do. There's too many people in the world today that are like the Pharisee that stood in the temple and looked around and said, God, I'm glad I'm not like everybody else. I don't steal. I don't cheat. I don't commit adultery. I tithe. I fast. And the Bible talks about another man that was in the temple at the same time as this proud Pharisee who was recounting to God all his goodness. There was a publican over in the corner of the temple. The Bible says he wouldn't even lift his head, that he smote his breast, and he said with his head down, bowed in reverence before God, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." He admitted that he had fallen short. He admitted that he'd fallen short of the glory of God. And the Bible says that that man in the corner who admitted that he was a sinner went home righteous, and the Pharisee never did. Never did. So, our first step is to admit that we're a sinner. Naaman did. He said, "I'm a leper. I'm not going to call it by some other disease. It's the most dreaded disease in the world, leprosy. I admit it." Number two, he acknowledged that he couldn't cure himself. He said, "I don't know what to do. I mean, I don't know what I can do to cure this disease." His wife wanted to help him, and she didn't have the cure either. His king wanted to help him, and he didn't have the cure either. His soldiers wanted to help him. They had no cure. Even the doctors and the physicians, I mean, with his place in the kingdom, he would have all sorts of care and all sorts of, I mean, he would get the best hospital room. He'd have all the specialists come in and look at his case. But every single person that wanted to help this man that had this position of authority and this position of honor in the kingdom, every single person had to say, like Naaman himself, "I know of no cure. I know of nothing that will help you beat this disease." And as he watches his body as it's eaten away by the leprosy, he realizes that death is coming, and he realizes that there's nothing that he can do to help himself. Hey, if it took an intellect, that Naaman had it. I mean, you can't lead an army to victory without having some intellect. And if intellect could take could drive leprosy from his body, Naaman could use his intellect to get rid of the disease. But leprosy doesn't listen to intellect. If it took authority to bring a cure, Naaman had that. Every soldier in the kingdom obeyed his orders. But leprosy doesn't listen to the orders of a general. If it took character to bring about a cure, Naaman had character. I mean, he was highly honored. Everybody trusted this man. But leprosy doesn't care about character. If it took money, I mean, Naaman had money. We're going to read about in a story where he takes some gifts when he goes to Israel. And if you count up the value of the gold and silver he took $70,000 to the king of Israel to try to buy a cure. Leprosy can't be bribed or bought. And Naaman had to come to the conclusion, there is nothing I can do to help myself. That's the second step for us to find a cure for sin. We have to admit that we're a sinner. And then number two, we have to acknowledge and admit that there's nothing, absolutely nothing, absolutely nothing that we can do to help ourselves. It's not taking part in some ceremony. That won't help. It's not our goodness. That won't help. It's not belonging to the church. That won't help. It's not getting baptized. That won't help. It's not taking the Lord's Supper. That won't wash away sin. That will not work. The old hymn says it. Could your tears forever flow? Could your zeal no languor know? All for sin cannot atone. Christ must save, and Christ alone. There's nothing that we can do. That's why the Bible says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." So he had to admit that he was a sinner. He had to acknowledge that there was nothing that he could do to help himself. Number three, somebody had to care for him. I wish I could spend the rest of the morning on this point. Somebody had to care for him, and not only that, somebody that had the answer had to care for him. You see, his wife wanted to help Naaman, but she didn't have the answer. The king wanted to help him, but he didn't have the answer either. All the soldiers in Naaman's army wanted to help their general, but none of them had the answer. Let me read the second and the third verses from chapter 5. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, "Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." A little slave girl who'd been carried away from her family, who was a servant now to Naaman's wife. She looked at this man. And I think, based on what the Bible says, that even though they had carried her away from her family, that over time she came to respect Naaman. She came to ascribe honor to him, just like all the other people did. She watched as the leprosy ate away at his body. She watched as there was nothing no doctor could do, no friend could do, no family member could do. And one day when she was by herself with Naaman's wife, she said, "I wish Naaman could go to Samaria, because there's a prophet of God that's there that could cure him of his leprosy." If you're a Christian here this morning, you ought to praise God that somebody in your past cared for you and had the answer to your sin. I thank God every time I think about my salvation for my grandmother, who pounded it into my head and rebuked me of my sin and told me straight out I was going to hell unless I received Christ as my Savior. And every single person, I don't know if it's mom or a dad or a grandpa or a grandma or a brother, I've heard John's testimony many, many times about how his brother came over one night and led him to the Lord, or a Sunday school teacher or a preacher. But if you're saved this morning, it's probably because God put somebody in your life that had the answer to the sin question, and they cared enough about you to share that answer with you, and you're on your way to heaven this morning because somebody cared enough about you and had the answer and told you about Jesus. Now let me remind you this morning, there's people in every single one of our lives that need Christ. They're on their way to hell. They're dying with no hope. If they've admitted they're a sinner, maybe they don't know they can't do anything, and maybe they're still trying to work it out themselves. But there's people that every single one of us know that need Jesus. We have the answer. Let's care enough to tell them. Naaman had a little girl that had the answer, that cared enough to tell him. Number four, he heard the cure. He heard the cure. Here's what happened. This word got back to the king of Syria. "Hey, there's a little girl here. She says if Naaman goes to Israel, he can get cured of his leprosy." The king says, "That's what I want. I honor this man. I'll do anything in the world for him." So he writes a letter to the king of Israel. And he says in this letter, "I'm sending my servant Naaman. He's a man I highly honor. I'm sending him to you so that you can cure him of his leprosy." And Naaman went to the king of Israel and gave him the letter from the king of Syria. Isn't it funny where people go to find cures for things? I mean, isn't it funny where people go today thinking they can find the answer for their sin problem? It's not in a bottle. It's not in a needle. It's not in a position. It's not in a possession. It's in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only place that you can find it. So he went to the king, and the king of Israel said, "Boy, they're trying to pick a fight with me. Am I God that I can cure a man's leprosy?" Bible says he rent his clothes, and Elisha, the prophet of God, heard about it. And Elisha, as Brother Chuck read a moment ago in our scripture reading, he sent word. He said, "Hey, send that Syrian general to me. I'll tell him how to get cured. Then he'll know that there's a prophet in Israel." And Naaman, who had traveled 120 miles from Syria to Samaria, took the next. He took another 10-mile trip out to where Elisha lived. And you know the story. We've talked about this part before. Elijah didn't come out and meet him. I mean, you would expect here was a Syrian general that the prophet would give him some respect. But the Bible says Elijah sent a messenger to him and said, "Go dip yourself in Jordan 7 times, and your flesh will be restored, and thou shalt be clean." He heard the cure. Let me tell you what the cure is for your disease this morning. Acts 4:12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." That's the cure. Your cure this morning for sin is Jesus. He's the only one that will work. I want you to know this morning that just like Elisha said, there's a prophet, and he's going to know that I have the cure. I'm God's prophet this morning, and I'm telling you the cure. It's Jesus. The only thing that'll work. Number 5, Naaman repented. You see, when this word came from Elisha, he said, "I thought he's going to come out and strike my part of my body where I had leprosy. I thought he'd come out and maybe pour some oil in or do something else to heal me." He said, "The rivers back home in Syria, in Damascus, are cleaner than the old dirty Jordan River. I'll just go home and wash in one of those rivers." He started home. And one of his servants, verse 13, "And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, My father, if the prophet bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather than when he said to thee, Wash and be clean?" He was headed home. The rivers at home are a lot better. I can pick my own river to wash in. I can do it my own way. I can heal myself. You see, he reverted right back to the way that a lot of the world is today. I'm not going to do it God's way. I'm going to do it my way. And what the world needs to do is the same thing that Naaman did when his servants came to him and said, "Master, Father, if Elijah had asked you to do something big and great, you would have done it. Why can't you just do the simple thing that he asked you to do?" The world does the same thing today. We say, "Admit you're a sinner and believe in Jesus, and thou shalt be saved." And the world says, "There must be something more than that. It's too easy. I must have to work. I must have to do penance. I must have to do something else than simply believe." Nope, that's all you got to do. That's all you got to do. Let me ask you this morning, repent. Quit trying to do it your way and go God's way. That's what Naaman did. He was headed home. His servants came to him, said, "If Elijah said do something great, you would have done it. Why can't you do this simple thing?" And Naaman made a 180-degree turn. He quit heading for Damascus, and he turned around and went toward the Jordan River. He repented. Number 6, because he believed the promise of God's prophet. Elisha had said, "Go down to the Jordan River and dip 7 times. And when you do, your flesh will be restored and you'll be cured." Naaman, after he had this little encounter with his servants, said, "I'm just going to believe that. I'm going to believe what the prophet of God told me." Let me ask you this morning, would you do that same thing? Would you believe? The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Would you believe that this morning? The Bible says, "For the wages of sin is death." Would you believe that this morning? The Bible says, "But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Would you believe that? The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. perish, but have everlasting life. Would you believe that this morning? God keeps his promises. You have to believe them. Number 7, he got under the water. The Bible says that he went to the Jordan River. And I don't believe he just went down to the edge and splashed some water up on himself. Amen. He went past ankle deep. I don't believe he just went out. He got to where it was knee deep so he could just sort of get under all the way. No, I think he went out further. I think when he got to waist deep, he could have said, well, maybe this is deep enough. Maybe I can just dip myself here. I don't think he stopped there. I don't think Naaman wanted to leave anything to chance. I think he got out so far in the Jordan River that he could not touch the bottom. And 7 times he dipped himself under the water. Not once. Elijah said, 7 times, Naaman, dip yourself 7 times. And he went under once, and he went under twice. And I know that he made sure that he got his whole body, head and everything, under the water. 3 times, 4 times, 5 times, 6 times. And I imagine maybe after this 5th or 6th time, he said, well, nothing's happening. There's no change. There's no gradual healing. I mean, the children of Israel marched around the walls of Jericho for 12 times and not one stone moved. One time the first 6 days, and then 6 times on the 7th day, 12 times, and not one stone moved. But when they did it the 13th time, when they did it the number of times that God said for them to do it, the walls fell down and they went and defeated Jericho. And when Naaman dipped himself that 7th time under the waters of the old Jordan River, he came up clean. He came up pure. He came up healed. 7 times. Now this morning, you don't need to get under the water. You need to get under the blood. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow. That makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Would you get under the blood this morning? Would you believe that when Jesus went to the cross, he took all of your sin and paid the price for your sin? The Bible says, without the shedding of blood is no remission of sin. Get under the blood. This number 8. Number 8. He did it publicly. He did it publicly. You see, when he got ready to leave Damascus, he didn't do it in the middle of the night. The king of Syria sent him off with great fanfare. We're sending our war hero, we're sending our general to a place where he can get cured. When he came into Samaria, he didn't sneak in the middle of the night and present the letter to the king. He did it in the middle of the day, accompanied by all his soldiers, accompanied by those that came with him. And I'm sure that the people of Damascus, when they saw this Syrian general ride into the city, that many of them gathered and he presented the letter to the king of Syria. When he moved to Elisha's house, I'm sure all the company that came with him went with him. And many of the people of Samaria said, we're going to see how this comes out. I mean, we're going to see how this works out. And so they went with him to Elisha's house. When Elijah sent a messenger out and said, go dip in Jordan River 7 times, probably everybody that was with Naaman heard the cure. When he went out to the river, I don't think he did it privately. I think he had all soldiers with him. He had many, many people from the city of Samaria with him. And they watched this grown man in obedience to the command of the prophet of God walk out into that river and dip himself 7 times underneath the water. And when he came up clean that 7th time, there was a crowd of people that were there that gave praise to the God of heaven. This morning, if you get under the blood, do it publicly. Don't hide it. There's people that need to see your testimony that will come to Jesus, maybe, if they see it. Don't do it privately. And then number eight. Did I skip seven? Huh? Seven? Eight? I have nine. You are getting triple your money's worth. Number nine. He did it promptly. You see, when this little maid said, hey, if Naaman, my master Naaman was in Samaria, there's a prophet of God that can help him. I don't think there was just a few hours between when that word got back to the king and the king sent for him and said, Naaman, I'm going to send you to Samaria to get a cure. It was a 120-mile journey from Damascus to Samaria. I think they made it in just a few days. I don't think they wasted any time. I think they traveled just as early as they could to just as late as they could to cover that 120 miles just as quickly as they could. When they got to the king, it was another 15 miles out to where Elisha lived. And they turned around and went. And then it was another 30 miles back to the Jordan River. And they went. I don't think one time Naaman said, well, let's rest here for a while. I don't think one time Naaman said, well, we can wait till tomorrow. I think Naaman said, no, I've got to go today. I've got to go today. That's why the Bible says, behold, now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. If you're here today and you've never received Christ as your Savior, today is your day. It's the only day you have to get saved. You say, well, what about tomorrow? You can't guarantee tomorrow. I can't. And you can't. So today's the day. If you're here and you've never received Christ as your Savior, would you believe what the Bible says? You're a sinner. The penalty for that sin is eternal separation from God. When Jesus went to the cross, He paid your sin debt for you. And if you'd simply come and receive it this morning, He'll wipe away all your sins, give you His righteousness. You can stand before God just as if you've never sinned. Get under the blood this morning. Get under the blood. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And if you've never received Christ, today is the day that you need to do it. Do it publicly. Yeah, you can get saved back in your seat, and you can pray the sinner's prayer. Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner, and you can be saved. But tell somebody about it. Walk the aisle. Tell us about it. And do it now. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this wonderful story about this Syrian general who got cured of his leprosy. And I pray this morning that every single person here that still has the disease of sin that rules and runs rampant in their life this morning would go through the same steps that Naaman did to get a cure. Help them understand, Father, that they can't do it on their own. No doctor can help. No preacher can help. Only one person can help, and that's the one who went to the cross and paid the price for their sin. Paid it all. Paid it all. And I pray this morning that every single person that doesn't know Jesus will come and they'll receive that the great gift of salvation that He purchased for us there, and would receive Christ as their Savior. Father, I pray for the Christians that are here. There's people in our lives that need to know the answer. They need to know Jesus. And I pray that we'd care enough about them to tell them. Bless the invitation. Use it as you see fit. And we'll give Jesus all the glory. For it's in His name we pray. Amen.